I'd like to read again this morning Matthew 6, verse 19 through 24 as a scripture for our lesson this morning. In Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then in verse 24, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So we're going to be talking this morning about our heart. Where is your heart? We had a wonderful service yesterday in memory of Mary. And we had another beautiful service a couple of Saturdays ago for Sharon. And we will be having a burial service interment at the Tahoma National Cemetery tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. And there is a reception at Jim and Debbie's house nearby after that. I believe we're still going to be having a interment there at Tahoma National for Sharon also. And I haven't heard just when that's scheduled, but we want to continue to remember both Gary and Don in their losses here, that they have lost their wives, and we have lost two sisters that we deeply miss here in our congregation. Tonight at 6 o'clock after our evening service, we're going to be having a meeting of the elders and deacons. And it's a very important meeting. We want to be talking about selecting new deacons. Jeff Skillings, of course, moved over recently. And we saw Jeff and Karen yesterday. That was great. But we are going to be having one of the things we want to discuss tonight, and we would like to invite as many men as possible who would like to be there to come and be a part of that meeting tonight at 6 o'clock after our evening service tonight. Well, we have been blessed here in our congregation with two fairly large gifts. One from Lydia Gummerman when she passed away a year and a half or so ago. She left us a very gracious gift from part of her estate. And also Jim and Luana Gilbertson from their foundation also gave a large gift to the church. And we were very blessed of those two gifts. So one of the great responsibilities that we have feeling upon us as leaders of the congregation is how best to spend that money that has been placed within us in our ability to use. We want to do some improvements to our building and our facilities. And so that's one thing that we look forward to, using our deacons in that, some responsibilities of works that need to be done, but also working to build up the congregation spiritually and numerically with the saving of souls. We're very happy and blessed that James was baptized here a couple of Sunday nights ago. And Mark, Bruce's brother, Mark Martin, preaches in Louisiana, and I called him on the phone this week, and he was so happy to hear that good news. But a lot of good things happening here in our congregation. We're very thankful and giving all the praise and glory to God for that. Losing Mary, losing Sharon, but really feel like God is working and blessing the congregation in a lot of ways right now. Last Tuesday night in our meetup group at Starbucks, we're now meeting at Starbucks in Burien on Ambaum and 148th Street. We had 10 of us in our study. That was the most we have had. And we had a young man, Jake, who was with us that had come once before, friends of Matt King. Not our Matt King, but the other Matt King, who always comes to our study. So, we really appreciate Paul and Violet are coming, Barbara and Debbie Kimmel, and Karen Hunt is making some great, wonderful comments in our Tuesday night studies there. Bruce is doing a fantastic job, always has been doing a great job. And we're in Romans chapter 6 this Tuesday night. But a lot of good things happening. And it was great to see so many old members, former members, I should say, that were used to be coming here to our congregation at the service yesterday. Some of them old, but what I'm meaning to say is they used to attend here. Marsha Aubel was one, and Martha Guadiz and Tyrone Guadiz, and they were saying that Bob Guadiz has prostate cancer, and so we need to be praying for Bob. I had not heard that, but they shared that with us yesterday. Anyway, I do want to let you know of some of those good things that are going on, and so we want to be thinking about making some improvements in our facilities here, and we have the funds to do that. So we need men, leadership, and full participation, cooperation, and prayer, and asking God for wisdom how we can best accomplish those things. So tonight at 6 o'clock, we invite a lot of our men to come and join us as we get together and discuss those things. So here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is talking about the fact that we need to lay up treasures in heaven, not here on earth, because where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. So we understand from this that Jesus is telling us that when it comes to our salvation, that we should be willing to invest in that. When that is a priority in our life, when that is a treasure that we hold dear, that is going to be something that we want to invest in that. We're willing to put forth effort and put forth our resources and our energies to that where our heart is. Because wherever our treasure is, he is saying, that's where our heart is in life. So where is your heart today? What are you willing to invest in your spiritual life in order to get home to heaven? We were celebrating yesterday Mary, her arrival in heaven. And we have great confidence in that. Those of us that knew her, the faith that she had, we can be confident that she is with the Lord. But how much are we willing to invest in our spiritual life in order that we can get home to heaven? So Jesus is telling us that we need to lay up treasure in heaven, and where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. You know, today in our society, I believe, some problems that we have in our thinking. And some of that is filtering over maybe from the way we think in our society today. into how we think about our life with God and our salvation. In the expectations that we see talked about today in our society, the unrealistic expectations that some people seem to have, that when it comes to jobs and interviewing for a job, or just in general, the benefits, people seem to have an attitude today that, well, we want to have guaranteed benefits. We want so much medical benefits. We want so much guaranteed vacation time. We want all of these benefits. And there's very little discussion about, well, what are we going to do to put forth the effort of work in order to earn that, to be worthy of that type of benefits. There are some who seem to have the attitude that, well, everything should be free. Why should we have to pay for it? There should be guaranteed income. There should be guaranteed benefits. And that is unrealistic. We cannot pay for that. There's no way that it can be paid for. And the attitude of entitlement that some have, that seems to be sort of growing, that thinking among some. But how much of that is flowing over into our lives when we think about our life with God? What is our religious expectations that we have? How many are there today that expect a no-cost salvation? Do we have the attitude that God's blessings should be available to everyone with very little effort expended on our part? Wanting to think about the fact always that salvation is a free gift of God. And it is a free gift of God. If we rightly understand that salvation is a free gift of God, it was provided through Jesus Christ. But at the same time, there is a price associated with acquiring eternal life. And Jesus is saying that we ought to be willing to invest in that. That where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that there is a cost. We need to count the cost. Do we want to go to heaven? Do we really love the Lord? Do we really want to someday have eternal life with God? What are we willing to invest in that? So there is that side of salvation that we should also not forget about. We should not overlook that. It is important that we have a proper understanding of salvation. And when I say that, in Ephesians chapter 2 is a good example. Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 4 through 10, where the Apostle Paul talks about and gives a great summary of how we are saved. He said, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us all together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the Bible teaches very clearly that there is a price that was paid for salvation. Now, Christ paid that price when he died upon the cross. But there is a price that we pay, in a sense. It's entirely different, and we cannot earn our salvation. So we need to be very careful when we talk about the price that we pay for our salvation, that we don't give the wrong impression that by that we're meaning that we are going to somehow earn our salvation, because we cannot earn our salvation. There are people, though, I believe, that are convinced that we can earn salvation. And that the problem with that it creates is that it leads to self-righteousness on our part. That we begin to think that by our goodness, by our faithfulness, by what we do, we are able to earn our own righteousness and our own salvation. So God makes it very clear that He does not want to see any boasting on our part when it comes to our salvation. It is by the grace of God. And one of the problems that people have who want to think that we are going to earn our salvation is that we are constantly overwhelmed with guilt in our life. We try to do the best that we can, but we find that we fail. And we become frustrated in our life that we cannot live a perfect life. We cannot measure up to the perfection and the holiness and the righteousness of God. And that results in that we are constantly feeling guilty and frustrated. And there is not the joy that ought to be in our life when we have a proper understanding that we are saved by grace. And yet that it leads us to have a joyful appreciation of faith on our part to love and serve God out of the gratitude of what He has done for us. And we can have a joy and a happiness knowing that Christ has paid the price, and that we aren't trying to earn. What we are trying to do is show Him how much we appreciate what He has done. We're living for Him out of the... He loves us and gave His life for us. We're not serving Him to earn our salvation. Our salvation has already been paid for by Jesus Christ. But on our part, there's an obedience that is necessary. And that obedience is to be rendered joyfully to God. And one of the problems that we have with people who thinking they can earn their salvation is that they want to give the bare minimum that they feel that they are necessary, required to give, rather than freely and gladly serving God because of the abundance of His love that He has poured out to us. We want to freely love and serve Him. There is just two different ways of thinking and two different attitudes. And some people have an attitude that we need to make sure we check off every item on that list in order that we have fulfilled our responsibility. But it usually does not come from a flowing gratitude of what can I do, Lord? What can I do to serve You? I want to serve You. I want to be doing whatever I am able that You allow me to do in Your service, Lord, because I can never do enough to pay or to make up for what You have done for me. But I love You, and I am so thankful that my life is a reflection of that. So there's a problem of trying to earn salvation, but there's also a problem of grace with no obedience. And that is what is coming from possibly the mistaken thinking, I think, that is growing in our society today, that why should we have to pay for anything? It should all be free. Everything should be provided for us. And yet, where is there a response of us to appreciate the grace that God has shown for us? So he says, we are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. And our faith is a joyful faith. It's an obedient faith of wanting to live and serve the Lord because what He has done for me. He gave His life for me. And therefore I want to serve Him. And when we have that attitude, we're not going to see this attitude that sometimes grows in the minds of Christians. Sunday morning comes around and we wake up and think, oh no, today we have to go to service again today. Is it already Sunday again? Well, we need to get up and do that. Well, let's go and take care of that. Instead of the attitude that we are looking forward to today. Today is the day that we can come together and serve the Lord and praise His name. And we're going to be able to get to do that throughout eternity, praising and singing praises to God. And so we get to come together this morning and worship and serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. We do have, though, an attitude of thinking. It is hard to sometimes find that proper balance in life between those who think that salvation is something that we earn and some who think that, no, it's all been done by the Lord, and therefore, for us, there is no further responsibility on our part whatsoever. We also have a problem in our world that, as we have always had, and that is the problem of how do we live the Christian life and yet deal with the things of this world that are going on in our life. The material blessing, materialism and the physical blessings and the physical desires and the temptations of life. Living the Christian life and not being able to get trapped up in the things of this world. And there is that temptation that we can be a Christian and we can go to heaven and we can still have all of these other things also. And there is really no priority placed on, as Jesus is saying, lay up your treasures in heaven, for where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'd like us to look at some things that the Apostle Peter has to say in 1 Peter chapter 1, where we see the emphasis that he has here as he was growing older in his life and was wanting to leave behind that faithful message of for future generations to read and be encouraged in faith and in hope, that we find Peter writing here in his letter of 1 Peter. And so in verses 1 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 1, we see that he is talking about the great blessings of salvation that we have in Christ. And he begins there in verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. He points out here that hope is the foundation of our life with God. That we have a hope to look forward to. And that hope that Jesus has given to us through His abundant mercy, through His abundant grace, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And that is the reason that we live the Christian life. It is a living hope. It is not just a wishful thinking. God has given us a secure hope of an inheritance, eternal inheritance with God, based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He raised His Son from the dead. And based on that, we have full assurance that we have a hope in heaven. When this life comes to an end, Not only that, in verse 4, in verse 5, he continues and he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And we see here that God is assuring us and promising us that He protects us. His power guards us through our faith. That as we have faith in Christ and we live by faith, God is guarding us by His power so that that inheritance that He has reserved for us is secure, and He is guarding us that we will remain with Him and we can reach that goal and that destination. So that is through our faith, but God is working to guard and protect us. That's what He is talking about here in verse 5, that we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now He also goes on to point out here that these blessings that we have in Christ now at this present time are the finest blessings that God has provided from all of His eternal purpose and plans that He has made from the beginning of time, even before the creation. God began to prepare His plan of salvation, His eternal plan of redemption. And that we are now realizing the fullness of those blessings in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 9 through 12 here, in 1 Peter, he said, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Throughout the Old Testament then, the prophets, inspired by God, men like Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah, they were promising the things to come. A new covenant of the Messiah. A virgin would bear a son and call His name Emmanuel, and He would sit upon the throne. There were those promises that God kept making to them of the coming of the Savior. And the angels of God were wanting to know more about that. They did not have the full understanding, but they knew something wonderful was being promised by God. What He is pointing out here is that we now have the privilege to share in those blessings. That all through the ages, Abraham and David and Moses, they did not have those blessings. They were told about them coming sometime in the future, in the last days. We're now living in those days. We are able to experience those things that the prophets longed for, that they spoke about, that they hoped for. We are now able to actually be living and experiencing those things. He said, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So great blessings that we have in Christ, incredible blessings that the prophets and the fathers of faith of the Old Testament would have longed for. We are blessed to live in these days and times and be able to be Christians and serving the Lord as we are. But he's pointing out there that there is a price that comes with this. So beginning in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Peter is pointing out here that we are children of obedience, that we gird up the loins of our mind to be ready to work and serve the Lord and be diligent in that. As we live here on earth, we need to put on the work uniform, the working outfit, that we're ready to go to work for the Lord. We're ready to serve Him, to get rid of sin in our lives and to serve Him, to build up the kingdom of God and prepare for that hope that He has coming for us. And that we are to live a holy way of life because God is holy. And he said, if you call on Him as your Father, if we call on God as our Father, and we do that when we pray, we Father in heaven, we're calling on Him as Father. But if we do that, we need to live for Him in respect and awe of who He is, and do not forget the price that He paid for us. He paid the price. And we need to, if we're going to call Him Father, which we do, we need to live in a way according to that that shows that we appreciate what that means and what He gave for us when He laid down His life, His own Son's life. He allowed His own Son to, He gave something more precious than money, didn't He? When God sent His Son, God has all the money that He could give. He gave something more precious than that for our salvation. What does that mean to us? What does that mean to us? Do we have that mentality today? Well, everything should be free. Why do we have to pay for it? No, there is a price. There was a price that was paid. And if we're going to call God Father, then we need to have an attitude of respect and awe that He is an awesome God. He gave His Son to die for us. And what does that mean to me? What am I willing to invest in that so that I can go to be living with Him in eternity? Instead of the attitude that somehow some of us end up having seems to be, well, isn't an hour a week enough? Isn't it enough that we come to service? The Lord has given everything for us. There has to be a joyful obedience and attitude of, I'm so thankful for what You have done for me, Lord. I am wanting to devote my life to You so that I can give in a small way whatever I have the opportunity in my life to let You know what a wonderful God You are. So how serious are you about being saved? Is this the most important goal in your life? Are you a child of obedience, a child of holiness, of seeking to live for the Lord and glorify Him? Or do you have the mentality that He's paid for it, I can go out now and live however I want? I have freedom. I have freedom. It's by the grace of God. I can live however I want to live because He paid the price. There's nothing left for me to do. Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6 that we need to lay up our treasures in heaven where they are secure. We lay up our treasures in heaven, no thieves, no moss, no rust, no nothing. It's secure there in heaven with God. But where your treasure is, there your heart. And that's the kicker. Where is your heart? Because that's what the Lord is looking for. He wants your heart. He wants your full heart, your love, your devotion. He doesn't just want us to put in a piddling payment of here's our part that we're putting in. He wants our heart. He wants our devotion. He wants us to appreciate what He has done for us when He gave the prize that was beyond belief, when He gave His Son, His own Son, to shed His blood on our behalf. That was the price that was paid. And what does it mean to us? That's what Jesus is bringing out here. Thank you for your attention this morning. We're going to stand and sing the invitation that's been selected. If there are those today in any way subject, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my Savior, leaving my sin.